The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air.
Well, praise the Lord. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm glad you could join us for another Netcast today. We're trying out a few things different from the technical front. I'm using a webcam on my laptop. I'm also using a headset for the audio. And we're just trying a few things. You got to try things, you know what I'm saying, from a technical perspective. And so I just wanted to let you know about that. Also want to let you know about SpeakFaith.tv. SpeakFaith.tv, I tell you what, we've updated it. We've got speakers out there with new shows, so I encourage you to check it out. Now, last time, I said you could go to the website SpeakFaith.tv, and then in the upper right-hand corner was a link to register, or not to register, but to get the programs from the Roku channel. And actually, I had it kind of reversed. If you want a Roku device, it's the upper right-hand corner banner on the SpeakFaith.tv site. And it's the banner right in the middle at the very top that will allow you to subscribe. So I wanted to check that out, make sure that I was telling you the right thing. And so I wanted you to know that. So go to SpeakFaith.tv, the website, and then you'll be able to find out who is on SpeakFaith.tv and also how to receive it. Praise the Lord. Now, also I want to talk about Word of Faith Radio. Of course, always want to mention Word of Faith Radio, WOFR.org. We've got new speakers that will be starting. We've got some exciting things happening with Word of Faith Radio. We've redone our infrastructure, so it's a lot more stable than it has been in a very long time. So I encourage you to check out Word of Faith Radio. I believe you'll be blessed by that. The other little technical difference you may have noticed is that down in the corner there, we have our Word of Faith logo, which is the descending dove and the open Bible on a shield of faith. That's our logo for the ministry, and we've got that as a watermark on the video. So we're kind of working with and tweaking the technology a bit. Always tried to take a step up. You know, many years ago, Brother Kenneth Copeland had a message where he was talking about excellence in ministry, and we want to always strive for that excellence in ministry. So I encourage you to check out some of the things that we're doing. We've worked on the website. We're tweaking some things, always trying to make things better. Go from glory to glory. Praise the Lord. Well, let's get into the Word today. I want to talk about something that follows up from our last program. I made a statement on the last program that I want to pick up from that and talk about. And that is that we can know the will of God. There's a lot of folks I know heard me talk about that and said, "Oh, Brother Bill, surely you don't mean we can actually know God's will." Well, let's look at a scripture and see what it says about that very point. You can know. In fact, you should know the will of God. Hallelujah. Now, to set this up, I need to tell you a little story that has to do with my first missions trip that I went on. I went on a missions trip in 1980. I was pastoring at the time, and I had an opportunity to go with some ministers from North Carolina down to Jamaica. And we stayed in Jamaica at a hotel, but we would go up into the mountains. And we preached and ministered to the folks that were up in the back mountains. I mean, back up there where the places where they met were basically thatch roofs and under the open air. And it was really kind of a wild place in that sense. You know, wild as in there were birds and animals. And you could hear them chirping and twittering in the background the entire time we were preaching. It made for an interesting background chorus, if you will, from nature as we preach the word. But when we went with some ministers. The group of ministers that I went with, Beatrice Moorfield, Orville Ilgner, some of the people from the Piedmont Triad area, we were all preachers of the word of faith. But then there were some other ministers from North Carolina that went on this same trip. And they came from down toward Greenville, North Carolina. And unfortunately, this group, they didn't teach and preach the word of faith. But in order to be, I guess, fair, you might call it, open-minded, if you will, the agreement was is that one of us from our group would go with one of them from their group, and we would kind of tandem preach. In other words, one of us would preach first, the other would preach next. Well, as it turned out on this particular night, I had, that before I was to go down there, I was in the hotel room, and I was studying the Word of God, and I was reading from Ephesians chapter 5. And I was meditating on that, studying that. And I went to up into the mountains, up near Ocherias, Jamaica, and went up into this area, to this little church, if you could call it that, where there were a bunch of folks meeting. And this guy from the other side of North Carolina got up and started preaching, if you could call it that. And basically, he didn't quote any scriptures, but he proceeded to talk about why if we could know the will of God. Oh, if only we could know the will of God. And he just went on and on and on. And he just kept hyping this. If we could know the will of God, why it'd be more powerful than atomic bombs. It would be the most powerful thing on earth if we could know the will of God. But, here's where it went. But, we just can't know the will of God. And he did refer to a scripture in passing. He didn't tell us where to find it. But he kind of referred in passing to the scripture of my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So we just can't know the will of God. Well, you take a scripture like that and take it out of context, and you could get yourself in a lot of trouble. Matter of fact, I hadn't planned to do this, but let's just go over to Isaiah, which is what he was referring to without actually quoting it. I don't want to just leave that there. Let's go over Isaiah 55, and we'll look at that particular portion of Scripture and see if you get the same thing out of it that he did. Go there into Esword. Verse 8 of Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater," verse 11, "so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It," God's word, "shall not return unto me void, but it," God's word, "shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I set it." Now, I don't know about you, but to me that's saying that natural man's thoughts are not a match for God's thoughts. God's thoughts are above natural man's thoughts. But I've given you my word. If you'll take my word and you'll read it and you'll study it and return my word to me, it will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So I take that a little differently than this gentleman did. I take it to mean that God wants us to know his thoughts. That's why he gave us his word. If he didn't want us to know his thoughts, then why give us his word so we could study it? And the scripture even says, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Well, if you can rightly divide the word of truth, you can wrongly divide the word of truth. Amen? And that's, I'm sad to say, what this guy was doing, wrongly dividing the word of truth. And as a teacher, I was sitting there going, "Oh, Lord, these poor folks that are hearing this, they're thinking you can't know the will of God." I had just read in Ephesians chapter 5 a very important portion of Scripture that has a lot to do with this. So let's go over and read this Scripture, and I think you'll see what I'm talking about. Let's start with verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So God wants us not to be foolish. He wants us to be wise. Correct? Okay. Be not unwise. Okay, let me back up. Verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, when this guy got through preaching, quote unquote, he didn't give an altar call. He didn't ask if anybody needed to be born again. He didn't say, does anybody out there need to be healed? I'll lay hands on you. Nothing. He just sat down. Turned it over to me. Well, what was I, a teacher of the Word of God, concerned for the folks in that church supposed to do? Just ignore everything that they just heard? Particularly since the Lord had directed me to read this Scripture before I got there. No, that's not what Dr. Bill did. I got up and said, folks, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I said, the Scripture here is saying, God wants us to understand what His will is. He did not say, you can't know the will of God. He did not say, you guys, forget it, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, so you're just out of luck, so to speak. No. He said, I want you to understand what the will of the Lord is, and if you don't, you're unwise. Now, I just got through saying, don't be foolish, but be wise. Now, what's interesting is I studied out the Scripture before I got there, and I found out this word unwise is the Greek word aphron. Aphron. And it's transliterated A-P-H-R-O-N. Okay? That's the transliterated form. Now, here's the definition. Are you ready? Grab your seat. Hold on to it. Okay? Imagine me up in front of all these good folks in Jamaica, them having heard that you just can't know the will of God. And then I read this Scripture that, be ye not unwise, be ye not aphron. The word aphron is mindless, stupid, ignorant, specifically egotistic, practically rash, and then unbelieving. Now, here's what the Lord said to me about that at the time as I was preaching. He said, if you don't know the will of God, you fall into one of these categories. Well, I thought, Lord, where are you going with that? So I went back and looked at the definition. If you don't know the will of God, it might be that you're mindless. In other words, you just don't have mental capability. You are unable to learn the will of God. Or you might be stupid. So completely mentally, you know, lacking that you just can't understand God's will. Or you might be ignorant. Now the thing about ignorance, and this is what he said to me as I was teaching, ignorance is a curable condition. You could be ignorant and learn, and then you are no longer ignorant. Ignorance is not mindlessness. Ignorance is not stupidity. Ignorance is just that you don't know. Now, for instance, I know a lot about computers, okay? I've had 35 years before I was disabled. I was working 35 years in the corporate computer arena. And I spent all those years working with computers, both at work and outside of work, personally. I have taken computers apart, put them back together. I've built them from the ground up, many, 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 many times. I've torn them apart and fixed them. So I know a lot about computers. I am not ignorant when it comes to computers. But even with my vast knowledge of computers, if you put me in front of a car and open up the hood and I look in it, you know what I'm going to tell you? Yep, it's got an engine. That's as far as it goes. I couldn't go in there and fix that car. Now, I could make some assumptions. Back in the day, I could have checked the, you know, the spark plugs and the distributor, make sure the distributor cap was on good, and didn't have any water in it. Well, they don't even have distributors anymore. It's electronic ignition. I'd be totally lost. So I'm ignorant when it comes to car repair. I let somebody else do that, somebody that knows what they're doing. Now, I could learn. I may be ignorant, but I could learn about cars. That's not my area of expertise. And though I enjoy driving cars and I enjoy cars, I'm not likely to dive in and learn how to tear them apart, put them back together. Just as the mechanic down the street that might work on my car probably doesn't have an inclination to learn about computers and how to tear them apart, put them back together. But the point is, ignorance is curable. You can be cured of ignorance by learning. Same thing with the Word of God. If you study the Word of God, you can find out what God's thoughts are. You can find out what His ways are. You can find out what He wants you to do in life. Okay? So let's keep going here. Ignorant. The next one, egotistic. Now, unfortunately, that's kind of what this gentleman that was preaching before me fell into. He was egotistic. He basically said, this is the way we preach it. My church says it's this way, and that's the way it is. And as much as said, I don't, later on after the service, as he talked to me, I don't care what that verse of scripture says. You can't know the will of God. Well, when you go to talking about you don't care what the scripture says, that's egotistic. That's rash. That's the next one. Rash. And unbelieving. Unbelieving means he's choosing not to believe. He's choosing to say, my way is the only way and the other way is the highway. Forget it. Get out of here. He was mad at me. Felt like I'd ruined his message. Well, I fully intended to ruin his message because his message wasn't scriptural. I was quoting scripture. He was quoting his church's doctrine. And if they don't match, guess who I'm going to go with? The Word of God. God's Word, the scripture says, was breathed out of his own mouth. So if it comes from God, that's got a whole lot more authority. Got all kinds of authority higher than your church doctrine. One would hope that your church doctrine is based on the Word of God that was spoken out of God's own mouth. But if it wasn't, drop it. Forget it. Okay. So you might be mindless if you don't know the will of God. You might be stupid if you don't know the will of God. You might be ignorant, which is curable, if you don't know the will of God. You might be egotistic, meaning I'm just going to believe it the way this way because that's the way it is, as far as I'm concerned. You might be rash, which means this is just the way it is. You're rash. You're not thinking it through. Unbelieving, choosing not to believe. And it goes on to say here that the King James translates this, unwise. Now, you've got to know that the will of God is knowable. I keep bouncing the camera here, so that shaking you're seeing is me bouncing the camera. Let me see if I can rectify that by easing this up and pulling this back. See if I can make it a little more stable. There we go. The thing about it is, knowing the will of God is exactly what He wants for us. He wants us to know His will because His will is His word. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. Jesus said, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the highest level of truth is God's word. God's word is his stated will. Now, where does this come in as being important? Well, think about it. There's not a lot of people that question, is it God's will for man to be saved? Because they read the scripture that says specifically, it is my will that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, the truth, as we found out, John 17:17, is God's word. So it is God's will that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the word of God. That is his will. Now, does that mean that all men will be saved? Nobody will end up in hell? No. We know there are some people that will end up in hell because they don't receive the free gift of salvation. Now, that free gift is made available and free to everyone. Jesus paid the price for every person. It is his will that they all receive it, but some won't receive it. Now, does that mean that it's not the will of God for them to be saved? No, it is the will of God for them to be saved. They just didn't receive it. Well, it's the same thing when it comes to healing. You know, there was a leper that came to Jesus one day. And the leper said, Jesus, if you will, you can heal me. Think about that. He said, Jesus, I know you have the ability to heal me. I know you have the wherewithal to supernaturally heal me of this leprosy. Matter of fact, the scripture there says he was full of leprosy, which meant that he was at the dying stage, last point. And he said, Jesus, I know you can. I just don't know if you will. You know what Jesus told him? What he immediately said? He said, I will, and laid hands on him and said, be made whole. You say, well, yeah, but Dr. Bill, that was that man. Jesus told him it was his will to heal him. Can you think of any scripture anywhere where Jesus said, oh, it's not God's will to heal you? There's plenty of scriptures where it said he healed them all. There's plenty of scriptures where it said that everybody that came up to him and asked him to pray for him, he did, and they got healed. There's case after case after case of where Jesus did heal them. As a matter of fact, one of God's covenant names, which are very important key doctrines of the church. If you go out and study the covenant names of God, Jehovah Nisi, you know, Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. All these covenant names, one of them is Jehovah Rapha. The very first one he gave was Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord God, the unchangeable Lord, the self-existent God who heals thee, who makes thee well. That's one of his covenant names. God's desire is that you be well. 3 John verse 2 says, beloved, he's talking to Christians, beloved, I desire above all things. Now think about that. Above all things. That you prosper financially and be in health physically. It's God's will that you be healed and whole. Well then, Dr. Bill, why aren't people healed and whole then? Why aren't all Christians healed? Because they don't receive. Same situation with those folks that don't receive Jesus as Lord and get saved. Now you can be saved and not be healed. There are those that are healed and don't get saved. Because he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Mark 16. So, healing and salvation, though they are related, though they are paid for with the same sacrifice of Jesus, you could be saved without being healed physically. You could be healed physically without being saved spiritually. But it's all for you. There goes my phone. I'm not going to answer it. It's all for you. The healing and the salvation. Psalm 103, 1 through 3 says that it is a benefit available to the believer. Matter of fact, let's go look at that. Go back to Esau here. Boy, that's another scripture I hadn't planned to get into. But God brings them up, I get into them. Praise the Lord. That's the way it works. Let's go look at Psalm 103. Beginning in verse 1, a psalm of David, bless the Lord, O my soul. So he's telling his mind, will, and emotions, bless the Lord. And all that is within me, that would be spirit and soul and body, bless his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all, A-double-L, largest, longest word in the Bible, all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all, that's all, there's no more, biggest word in the Bible, like I said, all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Glory to God. All of that is available to you as a believer. All of that is available to you if you're not a believer, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, because he has provided salvation for your spirit, healing for your body, and you can know the will of God. Now, I want you to think about something about knowing the will of God. Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change. The scripture also tells us that he is no respecter of persons. So if he told the leper, it's my will to heal you, Jesus hasn't changed. He's the same. He's no respecter of persons. He didn't have respect for that guy and doesn't have respect for you. You can know the will of God, and it is his will for all to be healed if they receive it. Well, we're out of time. We're going to have to go. I want you to write me here at Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WFM.org. You can also write me at my regular mailing address, Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213 5213, High Point, North Carolina, the zip code 27262. I trust you enjoyed this message. Study it out. Find out for yourself that you can know God's will, and it will be a blessing to you. Praise the Lord. Join us again next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God.
The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.